You have such a thing?
Yes.
Okay, good. So if you recall, we spoke about a chiddush of Rabbeinu Chananel. The Gemara talks about Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. And if we read Rabbeinu Chananel carefully, we'll begin to understand and appreciate how unique the concept of Mahadrin and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is on Hanukkah. Because, as Rabbeinu Chananel points out, we have a limitation in Mahadrin, and that's the Gemara Bava Kama says, Ad Shlish, that we only spend up to a third in order to accomplish this embellishment. But in the case of Ner Chanukah, by definition, once you add a second candle, it's more than a Shlish. So we come to the conclusion that Ner Chanukah is unique, and that the concept of Mahadrin could not possibly be what we call a chatchila, or thank you so much, or the way we would normally achieve a heder mitzvah, but rather it's totally optional. Do you follow? It's something that's unique to Chanukah. We don't find anything of the sort in any area of halacha that a person, in order to fulfill Mahadrin, and he wants to be a Mahadir or some mitzvah, he should be required to spend so much money above a shlish. So if you take a look on page Chav Gimel, you'll see a paragraph that starts with the word Vehine, and he quotes the Brisker Rav, and on line 4 of that paragraph he says, Ein chiyuv lahadir, ein baza afilu mitzvah lechatchila. You know, you might say, well, lechatchila, a person should be Mahadir or some mitzvah, and certainly in that context, with regard to Chanukah, we would want to be Mahadir Sam Mitzvah. No! This is 100% voluntary, because as the Rabbeinu Chananel points out here, invoking the Gemara in Bava Kama, the din of Hidur is Ad Shlish B'Mitzvah. By definition, if you're adding another candle, because the Ikra Mitzvah is Ner Echad, then you're going way beyond the Shlish. So the whole deal, the whole enterprise of Mahadrin is purely Misha Rotza Lahadir. It's not like a person who generally does a mitzvah biduro, this is what he should be required to do on the level of Mahadrin. No, you don't get to the point in which you could say that because he's a Mahadir, he is required to spend this amount of money on Hidur, because this is Misha Rotza Lahadir. Okay. So now let's get back to the question of the Beis HaLevi. The Beis HaLevi was wondering, why is it that only in Ner Chanukah we find this concept called Hider Mitzvah and Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin? In the language of the Beis HaLevi, Manishtana Ner Chanukah Sheishpa Din Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. That was the question of the Beis HaLevi. Now, in order to answer this question of the Beis HaLevi, you may recall that in the past we've quoted, I think it was the Pnei Yoshua, maybe it was others, who said that the whole miracle came about through Hidur Mitzvah. Why? Because they didn't have to look for Shem and Tahar. They could have easily lit the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash with Shem and Tomei, and that's based on the principle of Tumah Hutra B'Tzibur. You familiar with that? I mean, we've discussed this in the past. I don't know if we want to review that or not, but maybe for today we can go on to another possible explanation. So again, just to summarize where we're holding now, based on this Rabbeinu Chananel, it comes out that Ner Chanukah is a little bit different than other mitzvahs, because we're talking about something that's totally voluntary, 100% voluntary. Okay. And again, you know, Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin, that's really wild. Even the Mahadrin is totally voluntary, because you're already doubling the candles, and that's way beyond the shlish. But mahadrin, mina mahadrin, that goes even further than that.
And it's a mitzvah midrabbanan anyway.
Okay, yeah, maybe. In other words, maybe that would be a factor, I don't know. So again, you know, the Beis HaLevi seems to be bothered by the mahadrin, mina mahadrin. The truth is that the same question the Beis HaLevi is addressing with regard to mahadrin, mina mahadrin, we have to address even with regard to the mahadrin. Because this mahadrin is unique and it doesn't fit into the standard pattern of other mahadrins. You know, hider mitzvah shlish. Here we're talking about hider mitzvah way beyond the shlish. Okay. Now, in order to try to answer this question, we're going to talk about where the shemen comes from. Which, give me a minute just to get my pages organized here. So we're going to take a look for a moment on page Chaf Dalet. Now, page Chaf Dalet is in Simon Yud Gimel, am I right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've skipped just for a moment, I'll come right back to Simon Yud Beis. We fast forwarded to Simon Yud Gimel because I wanted to try to present to you, in the words of the Gvuras Yitzchak, a possible answer to the question of the Beis HaLevi. And that is, why do we find this whole unique enterprise of Mahadrin, Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, with regard to Ner Chanukah? So on page Chaf Hei, on the top of the page, he quotes an Avud Raham. And the Avud Raham says the following. Why did it take 8 days until they could finally replace or refurbish, if there's such a word, Shemen Tahar? Did it take 8 days to produce Shemen Tahar? So Avud Raham quotes a Pasuk in Dvarim. This Pasuk in Dvarim, at the end of Vizos HaBracha, indicates the blessing that Moshe Rabbeinu bestowed on Shevet Asher. And it says over there, V'tovel b'shemen raglo. And the Gemara Menachos builds a lot on this pasuk. It seems that in the territory of Shevet Asher, there was a city called Tekoa. Now, I'm not sure if today's Tekoa is in the same area. Maybe the archaeologists have reason to believe so, but be that as it may, the Gemara Menachos says that when they brought oil for the Beis HaMikdash, they brought it from Tekoa.
It's the home of Amos, Tekoa.
Was there Shemin there? I mean,
I don't know, but I'm not sure it fits into Chayda Asher. Does it?
Oh, this I don't know. So maybe I'm making a mistake. Can you open up the pasuk here? Tovil v'shemen raglo. For some reason, I thought it was Shevet Asher. Is that my mistake?
It says Asher.
Yeah.
Dvarim yelam gimel kofdal.
Okay, so I thought that was Chelk Shel Asher. If you, I don't want to waste too much time on this.
He says it.
Yeah, I'm just saying. I assume he looked into the parasha. You know, but I don't think we have to waste that time. We can rely on him. He's at least eight of Echadem Bisur. You know, if we can rely on a woman from Dikas Chometz, then we can rely on Rav Sorotskin to quote a pasuk in Chumash. Okay, John doesn't want to trust him, so that's good. I'm just joking. So take a look at that pasuk.
Trust him, but you always have to look.
Yeah, for sure. The only reason I didn't want to look is because I just want to fit a lot into, today and tomorrow we're supposed to make a siyum on Chanukah, so I have a lot to cover with you. So in any event, in the Chelek of Asher, there was a section called Tkoa. Again, you don't have to identify it with other places that might have the same name, but there was some place, and they would bring the shemen from Tkoa ultimately to Yerushalayim. How long did it take to get from Tkoa to Yerushalayim? The whole process would take 8 days. And the Gemara Menachos says that Tkoa Alpha L'Shemen, you know, like the Aleph, it's like the Aluf, you know, it's the, how do you say Aluf in English? The champion. It's the champion of Shemen. It's the best Shemen you can get is from Tkoa. The second best comes from a place called Regev. Okay, that's on the other side of the Jordan, what they call Transjordan, right? But then the Mishnah goes on to say that kol ha'rotzos ksheros, that in any event you could take, if need be, you could take shemen from anywhere in the world. The best of the best comes from Tkoa. Umikan hayu mevin. Oh. Now the Rambam, when he codifies this halacha of Mahadrin, and he, you know, Mahadrin takes a very special role, plays a very special central role in Karbonos. You know, for those who like Kodshim, you should tune in on this. And the Rambam says that although you could have something that's not possible, and you're allowed to bring it on the Mizbeach, for example, let's say he's chayv to bring a Karbon Ola, he can theoretically bring an animal that's kochush, sekochush, it's very lean, you know, like the seven lean cows, you know, vikior, and it's very disgusting. And he could always come to the Beis HaMikdash and say, "Hare ein bo mum." There's no mum. So again, it's a famished, lamb, but it still is unblemished. So the Rambam says that such a person comes under Arur. Right? In Sefer Dvarim, we have certain people who are Arur, meaning they don't really love the mitzvahs. You know, he's doing it in the most bare bones way. You know, bare bones literally, in this case of a Sekof. Then the Rambam advocates what should be his attitude, and what kind of an animal should he bring on the Mizbeach. He says, Kol shebiyodo lekarmon yavi min hamechubar, min hamuvchar, meaning if all things are equal, and he could spend the extra bucks and buy an animal that's muvchar, that's a first class animal, it's not this oingabagina, you know, sekachush. He says, v'kachayu osim v'zman ha-migdash. Now the Rambam goes a little bit further, and he broadens the scope of his discussion beyond Karbonos to other dimensions of the Beis HaMikdash. And he says that he wants to show you what the Jews were capable of doing at the time of the Mikdash, when they were really motivated, they were chassidim, they were very pious, they loved the Beis HaMikdash and the mitzvahs. It seems that the best rams would come from Moab, and they would import them from Moab. And they would bring the shemen for the menorah all the way from Tekoa, which was an 8-day trip. So the Gemara Yitzchak claims that if you read the Rambam carefully, there are two dinim over here. In Karbonos, the Rambam has what's called an Arur. Arur is someone who could have brought the Karbon min ha-muvchar, and instead he brings a Sek Kachush. You know, he was Yotzei his Chiyuv of Olha, but he gets a little bit of an Arur attached to it. However, when the Rambam gets to broadening the concept of min ha-muvchar, for example, Shemen Tkoa for the menorah, Leka Arur, the Rambam is not going to go as far as to say it's an Arur, it's only Midin Mitzvah Min HaMuvchar. Okay. And he quotes a Tosefta here, which is not for us right now, but he says, Kol Adin Lahavi Shemen Mitkoa Eino Ela Hidr Mitzvah Bilvad, he calls a Greda. In other words, there's no violation of an Arur here if they would bring the Shemen from a different area other than Tkoa. But if you ask for Hidr Mitzvah, the highest quality Shemen came from Tkoa. Now, how long did it take until they could replace, you know, all the contaminated oils with new Shemen of Tar? 8 days. So it means that apparently they wanted to take the Shemen from Tkoa. they really could have brought Shemen from a closer area, but it wouldn't have had that Maila Gedola of Tkoa. In Kain HaNes Lo Hoya Rak Mishum Hider Mitzvah, the only reason why the candle had to miraculously last for 8 days is because they wanted to be Mahad in the Mitzvah, Kidei Lahavi Shemen Mitkoa. The Lachani says, Tiknu Chachon in the Mitzvah Zu Hidurim Yoser Mikolan Mitzvah. In other words, there was no obligation to wait this full 8 days. It was only because they wanted to bring Shemen from Tekoa. So next time, Rabosa, you visit a place called Tekoa, which is right near, right next to a Tefrat, and you're there on Chanukah, and they ask you to say a Dvar Torah, and you want to say a Dvar Torah about Mahadrin, and why there's such a strange halakha of Mahadrin, which according to the Brisker Rav, based on Rechanal, is not based on any regulation that applies to Hidur Mitzvah in general. You'll tell a Mishnikal Torah based on the Gemara Menachas and the Rambam Hilchos Isurim Mizbeach that the entire scenario and sequence of the miracle being 8 days is only because they were Mahadir San Mitzvah. They weren't willing to get a quick, you know, a quick, easy come for Shemen and Shemen Tar, but they wanted to get the best Shemen Tar there was in the business, and the best in the business came from Tekoa. Now we go back to Siman Yud Beis. Okay, this is on page Chaf Gimel, going on to page Chaf Dalet. And this is a very nice piece. I like this a lot. It's like very compact and straight to the point and clear as a whistle. He says the following. There's a machlokas here between Tosfos and the Rambam about the relationship between Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin. We've discussed it on numerous occasions. Tosfos insists that it's an either-or situation. You cannot have both your cake and eat it too. You cannot have both Mahadrin and Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin. And the reason for that is because you need a hekera. And if he's going to achieve both the Mahadrin and the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, means he's going to multiply his candles by the Bnei Abayis, the number of people in the household, and at the same time he's going to multiply his candles by the number of days, let's say according to Beit Hillel Yom HaYotzim, then the onlooker has no Akeira. He doesn't know how many people are in the house, right? Maybe X number of people are in the house, and that number of candles has nothing to do with Keneged Yom HaYotze. So the whole subject of this Siman Yud Beis is, what about the first night of Chanukah? In the case of the first night of Chanukah, we don't have Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. Correct? There's only one there, and that's it. But let's say I have two people in the house, or more, then I could fulfill the mitzvah of Mahadrin without any clash by Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, because there is no Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. So if on the first night of Chanukah, because there are two people in the house, I'm lighting two candles, that should be a shoo-in for the mitzvah of Mahadrin. From the second night and on, we're in trouble, because he can no longer fulfill both Mahadrin and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin according to the Balei HaTosfos. But at least on the first night, I could fulfill the mitzvah of Mahadrin. And personally, I got very excited about this, because it never ceased boggling my mind why the sugya goes through Mahadrin and then Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. If Mahadrin is a non-entity, it's a what do they call it, non-starter? Is this such a phrase? There's no, because Tosfos is going to advocate in favor of the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin. And any time that you try to accomplish both Mahadrin and Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, you're undermining the Mahadrin Min HaMahadrin, because Yisbar Shekach Yesh B'nei Bayis. But maybe we can still justify the whole discussion about Mahadrin based on the first night. All that was great until we see the Tosa Rosh. And the Tosa Rosh says, no, even on the first night there's no Mahadrin. And he says the following. Just 1 second, I just want to see. We're up to the paragraph Vehine on page Chavdal. I just want to see if I omitted anything in the previous paragraph. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't see the Shalom here. That's why I got surprised. So if you take a look on line 4 here on page Chavdal, he says, V'ein. Ein tam shalol lahadir lahadlik ne'er l'kol echad v'echad on the first night. He says there's no reason, according to Tosus, that we should object to implementing and fulfilling the mahadrit of ne'er l'kol echad v'echad. Because what are you going to tell me? You're going to be disturbed by the mahadrit min mahadrit. There is no mahadrit min mahadrit on the first night. Then he ends this paragraph by quoting the Shulchan Aruch in Tafresh Ayin Aleph. So let me just open up Tafresh Ayin Aleph for a minute, which is towards the beginning of Hilchos Chanukah. And he says the following. Kamaneros Madlik. Balayla Rishon Madlik Echad. Mikan V'Elech Mosif V'Holech. Achibalel Ech Achon Yu Shmona. But he's basically telling you to do the Mahajim in a Mahajim. And on the first night, he's lighting one candle. The Stimas Lashono here is very strange. The Chora on the first night, logically, should be lighting Kenegan Anshe Abayis. Again, if he's alone, then Enochinami will be only one candle. Does the Mishnah Berurah point this out? No. I don't see anything in the Mishnah Berurah here, if you want to take a look. So again, let's ask the question here. According to the calculation of Tosfos, we should come to the conclusion on the first night, he should be lighting Kenegan Anshei Abayis. The Mechaber says on the first night he lights Ner Echad. So in order to answer this question, he quotes a Tosfos Rosh. Is everybody on board? Oh. The Tosfos Rosh says the following. That he prefers that on the first night he should light one candle l'chol habayis. Okay? It means that even on the first night, the Rosh is shunning the idea of Mahadrin keneged kol echad v'echad. And why? What would be the reason in our wildest dreams that on the first night he shouldn't be able to fulfill the Mahadrin? Says the Rosh. He says, "The mikan v'elach mishum deleka heker shemasha osa keneged ayoma nichnosim shiu svurim shenitvasvu bnei bayis." Once he starts on the first night with the bnei bayis, then the assumption is that the multiple candles, the extra candles that he adds on the second night, are because nitvasvu bnei bayis. Now you might ask. What happened overnight? His wife had quintuplets.
No, but you're going from, let's say, 4 to 2.
I'm right? Not sure what you mean 4 to 2. Let's say the four
b'nei bayis.
Oh, 4 b'nei bayis. Okay,
so
I thought
the first night you light 4. Okay. And on the second night you're going to go to Mahadim and Mahadrin in order to get a light 2.
Right.
So where do you have nitvasfu?
No, he's asking the following. Let's give a simple case. There are two people in the house, so you want to light 2 candles on the first night.
Right.
On the second night, you're going to multiply it, correct?
No, you're going to light 2.
Okay, so maybe I'm giving the wrong...
You're abandoning Mahadrin on the second night and going straight to Mahadrin and Mahadrin. I thought that's the question.
Just 1 second. Why are the numbers going up, you're asking? Okay, I thought I understood this. Let me give it a second to try. And now, what are you doing? Start with 2. Let's try the third night. What's it? Third night, you're lighting 3 candles. Right. So you're lighting, let's say, 1 candle. If you're lighting 2 candles on the second night. Right, so you're lighting 2 candles. Let's say if you light 2 candles on the first night and 2 candles on the second night. Lost the chesed here, 1 second. Vinuish, this is all the technical part. I mean, we're not getting to the love. Right. The loveness is totally irrelevant to this, but let's work out the technicalities. Vinuish, maybe the rush is going with what? The Shita. Yeah. So on the first night, we should certainly have what? Certainly have the Kiyum of Mahadrin. But now we get to the second night. So it's the second night. We're dropping the Mahadrin. Again, just to get by the technicality, Abby, because I don't want to lose it on this, because what's more important is what we're going to have around the bend. Let me skip the second night. Let's go from the first night to the third night, correct? So on the first night, he lit two candles, because he's got two B'nai Bayis. And now we get to the third night. On the third night, he's lighting three candles, correct? So is he lighting three candles because it's the third night, or is he lighting three candles because his son from the dormitory came back home? Again, I really have to give more thought to your question, but I just don't want to lose the forest from the trees. He says, Hare mavur b'tosfos, right? You have the last three lines on the right column. The e'efshal lahadir af b'yom harishon. Even if you're going to add a second candle on the first night, that's impossible. Why? Because if you had to be on a rishon, shuv yechaser behekera b'shar hayomim. So again, I don't know how you get by the second night, because again, the second night should be two candles. I don't know why. I'm sorry. The second night will be two candles. The first night was two candles. The second night, so yeah, you're going to have to go skip to the third night, I think. Again.
Or you just left the hair, because you could still think there's just two people in the house.
Yeah. Unless he's going with the shita that I don't know. That each person is lighting their own candle. I don't know. That doesn't make sense to me. Okay. Anyway, so he says the following. Lekach, this is on the top of the left column, is afilu biyom rishon yefshal lahadlik ner lechol echad. So what's happening here is the following. That we're going to forfeit the Mahadrin on the first night for the sake of the Mahadrin, Mina Mahadrin, on the second night or the third night, whatever it is. So he claims that that's based on a Chai Adam. Now, of course, the Rosh is not based on the Chai Adam. The Chai Adam is 1,000 years later, but what I mean to say is that the logic of the Rosh is reflected in the Shita of the Chai Adam. So let me say a few words about the Chai Adam. It's Tzom Gedalia, which is on the 3rd of Tishrei. And the doctor tells me that if I fast on Tzom Gedalia, I won't be able to fast on Yom Kippur. Now Tzom Gedalia is clearly a mitzvah derabbanan, whereas Yom Kippur, you're talking about an Issur Kares. The doctor's telling me that if I fast on Tzom Gedalia, I won't be able to fast on Yom Kippur. What would you say in such a case before you saw the Chai Adam?
Don't fast Tzom Gedalia.
Right, don't fast Tzom Gedalia. So the Chai Adam is going to say, no, fast Tzom Gedalia. No, I'm sorry. I'm talking about the Cholkim on the Chai Adam. Let me get the name straight. The Chai Adam is going to say, don't fast on Tzom Gedalia because forfeit a lesser mitzvah for the sake of a greater mitzvah. In other words, they say in the name of the Kotzke Rebbe, he used to say, it was his motto, there aren't 613 mitzvahs, there's only one mitzvah, the mitzvah today, But let's assume that according to Chai Adam, I don't have the right to say it's just the mitzvah today, I have to see what the repercussions are. So we'll soon see that this rush that we're talking about, that you forfeit the Mahadrin on the first day from the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin on the second day, reflects the Shita of the Chai Adam. Again, many poskim disagree with the Chai Adam. They say, like the Kotzke Rebbe would say, I don't mean that literally, but that you only have today's mitzvah. So you're going to fast on Tzom Gedalia because today you're not a cholin. And I don't have to consider what's going to be a week down the line when we get to Yom Kippur. He says, L'chor tzarech in, came into Yom HaRishon gufa yachal l'kayim ad lokas mahadrin, havilon l'meimar, we should have said the following according to Tosa Rosh, chayim l'hadlik behidr b'yom, hayom, meaning on the first night, v'lo lochush l'lomoch l'achar zman, that he won't be able to be m'kayim b'mahadrin b'mahadrin. Here is Kasha. Now it's today, I have the first night of Chanukah. That's the mitzvah that's incumbent upon me. And I have an ability to be mahadah the mitzvah. So I want to go ahead and be mahadah the mitzvah. You're talking about what's going to happen afterwards? Why do I have to have a daig about what's going to happen afterwards? Ula machayodam beklal samaches kosav dim yesh lefon of mitzvah doraisa lasos ayom rak shish yaseno ayom lo yuchal lemocho lasos mitzvah doraisa cheres sheichamura mizu. Right, in Kol Shekein, if the first mitzvah is only derabbanan, his mitzvah lemachar demachar adif. If tomorrow's mitzvah is more chamur, then forfeit today's mitzvah, which is kal relative, for the sake of the mitzvah of tomorrow, which is chamur. So the Gemara Yitzchak wants to apply the logic of the Chai Adam to our rush, the Tosa Rosh. V'chein, let's apply it here. The Afal Gad. The Shiur Mitzvah Lo Mash. Oh, I'm sorry. This is still part of the Chai Adam. So the Chai Adam gives us the underpinnings of his rule of Psak, and he says Afgav the Shiur Mitzvah Lo Mashinon. In other words, we don't delay a mitzvah. Now we have to, you know, we don't postpone a mitzvah for the sake of another mitzvah that's going to come. We have to do what's incumbent upon us now. Dafka Kshiyochel Asos a Mitzvah Akshav Kemoshi Yasenu Lemochar. If he can't accomplish the same goal and the same level today, if he fulfills the mitzvah as he would tomorrow, so therefore by fulfilling his mitzvah today, he's going to forfeit his mitzvah of tomorrow. Is in Yamtin, Yasem in a Mufchar. If he waits a little bit, he'll do a better mitzvah tomorrow. Is Mutav, Shi Yamtin, Yomo, Yomayim, Kedei Lasosam in a Mufchar. So the Chai Adam specifically allows you to delay a certain mitzvah if you can do the same mitzvah on a higher level, mitzvah min amuvchar. Comes along the Gevurah Yitzchak and he says, let's take a look at this case of Mahadrin and Mahadrin min amahadrin. Yesh lomar, de'echad hayom yochal asa mitzvah hidur, b'im yasena b'hidur hayom, lo yuchal asa sam mitzvah l'mocha mahadrin min amahadrin, Mutav shalo yahadir hayom v'yasenu lemachar mahadrin bin mahadrin v'lakach ein lahadir bin erchanik lalik v'yom rishon ner echad l'chol echad v'echad v'yal yidei zelo yuchal l'kayim lemachad lokas mahadrin bin mahadrin. So let's just review two premises here to justify the Tosa Rosh. Premise number one, which is already formulated by the Chai Adam, is that I'm allowed to postpone a mitzvah if I can do it better tomorrow. Normally we say, mitzvah vol yodcha al tach mitzvah, don't postpone a mitzvah. But if you know, you're certain that by postponing the mitzvah you'll fulfill it behider tomorrow, it'll be a superior, higher level mitzvah than today, you're allowed to, and you're even, we advocate that you postpone the mitzvah. That's premise number one. Premise number two is that mahadrin min mahadrin is greater than mahadrin. Now, why do I say the mahadrin min mahadrin is greater than mahadrin? I mean, this mahadrin is keneged anshei abayis. This mahadrin is keneged yom hayotzim. How do I weigh the two?
The Gemara calls one mahadrin and one mahadrin min mahadrin.
Right. Well, no. The Gemara itself, I wouldn't have a problem with, because mahadrin min mahadrin means if you want to go even beyond mahadrin, but it doesn't mean that going beyond mahadrin should undermine the mahadrin. But the very fact that the shul. Again, I'll quote the Shulchan Aruch, but it's really Tosfos already, way before the Shulchan Aruch, is going to advocate that you drop the Mahadrin in favor of the Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin. That proves that the logic is that Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is a greater Hidur than Mahadrin. You know, you would have said that the greater Hidur of Mahadrin Mina Mahadrin is only because you're Mekayim the Mahadrin, and now you want to go beyond the Mahadrin. But no, even if I pull the rug out of under your feet, as far as the Mahadrin, I completely cancel the Mahadrin. The Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, in and of itself is greater than the Mahadrin. And therefore, we're going to apply the principle here of the Chai Adam to explain the Tosa Rosh, that rather than do the Mahadrin on the first night, I'm going to forfeit that so that I can have the Mahadrin, Min Mahadrin, on the second night, etc., etc. that if the Rosh is right, that the lighting on the first night of more than one candle is going to generate a mistake on the other nights, because they're going to think Nisvasu Elov Bnei Abayis, and therefore you're left without the Mahadran Min Mahadran, then drop the Mahadran on the first night. We're going to be Masha that mitzvah for the sake of the greater mitzvah of Mahadran Min Mahadran on the second night. Now the reason why we have to quote both the Reish and the Sefer L'Chayodom is because the Reish of L'Chayodom is talking about two mitzvahs d'oraisa, but if you fulfill the first one, you'll have to forfeit the second one, which is a mitzvah chamura. Okay, that's hard. That's not relevant to Mahadran, but then the Chayodom brings it down one level to two mitzvahs, both of which he can fulfill, but just the heder mitzvah of the first one is inferior to the heder mitzvah of the second one. So forfeit the heder mitzvah of the first one for the sake of the heder mitzvah of the second one. That's exactly our Tosa Rosh. Fits like a glove. What's fascinating to me is that the bulk of poskim reject the Chayodom. And they say that you should be Makayim the mitzvah of Tainis Tzom Gedalia, even at the expense of forfeiting Yom Kippur, because today you're Chayim Tzom Gedalia. And Shehuye Mitzvah Lo Mashinon. And that's antithetical to this Tosa Rosh, who says don't fulfill the Mahadran on the first night, because you'll have to forfeit the Mahadran, Min Mahadran on the second night. And that leads us to, I think it's Simon Yudal, am I right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Simon Yudal. So on the bottom now, page Chaf He. Now, just by way of introduction, as far as Simon Yudal is concerned, I have to admit the following. I read this a few times over, and I'm going to need your help. I know what he says is right, but I can't figure out why. In other words, my limitations, when I get to like the mathematics, this is a very mathematical simon, I get myself all tongued, I get myself all twisted and turned. Okay. So so we're up to Simon Yudalid. I just want to look ahead. Simon Tesvov. I have these pages here which I have to get rid of here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we did Simon Tesvov. You can check me out on that if you can. So what we're missing here is Simon Yudalid, and then we get back to Halil. It's a shame. Okay. There's a very strange Gemara here, according to the Gvuras Yitzchak, and we were not sensitive to it. The Gemara offers two approaches to the Machlokes Beisil Beit Shammai, right? Beit Shammai starts with 8 and goes down to 1. Beisil start with 8, with 1 and go up to 8. And in the second approach, the Gemara says that Beis Hill is based on Maila B'Kodesh. Beit Shammai is based on Pari Achak. Yes? Okay, I don't have to explain that. So the problem is that the whole deal doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, Keneged, Pari Achak, Keneged, or the principle of Maila B'Kodesh? You still haven't answered the most basic question. Why not light the same number of candles each night? In other words, if you're going to tell me that there's reason X why we should be changing the number of candles, then you could ask, well, in what direction should we go? You know, should we be Milam Kodesh and start with 1 and go up to 8, or should we Keneged Parachag, start with 8 and go down to 1? That's fine. But you haven't told me on a more basic level, why can't you light the same number of candles each night? Or light one candle each night? Who says Milam Kodesh should apply here? Or Keneged Parachag? That's his second question. His first question is that I understand Beis Hillel in the first explanation of the Gemara, Keneged Yomim HaYotzim. Well, Keneged Yomim HaYotzim means that with each additional day, the miracle got greater and greater, because that limited number, volume of shemen lasted another day, and then another day, another day. So you want to add candles in order to be mefarsim the, you know, the extra miracle, the Tosefis Nes. But why, according to the first approach in Beit Shammai, the Gemara doesn't even bother explaining why Beit Shammai says Kenegin Yom HaNichnasim, and we should start with 8 and go down to 1. So again, just to summarize, he has two kashas here. Number one, on the first approach to Beit Shammai, we don't really have any explanation for Beit Shammai. The Gemara doesn't even bother with it. And according to the second approach, the Gemara assumes that it's a dover pashut, it's a fundamental assumption that both Beis Hillel Beit Shammai assume that you have to change the number of neiros. Should you change it in this direction or that direction, that the Gemara offers an explanation from. But the Gemara never explains how Beis Hillel Beit Shammai knew, and that was universally accepted, that you have to change the number of neiros. Now, the bulk or the balance of this essay is to try to explain a few words in Rashi. And Rashi is bothered by something, but he doesn't tell us what bothers him. He gives us an answer for an unasked question, an unformulated question. That's typical of Rashi, but usually it's very easy, you know, to play Sherlock Holmes and figure out what bothered Rashi. In this case, it's a little bit more challenging. Okay. So what do we have? We're talking now about Beis Hillel in the first approach, which is called Keneged Yomim Hayotzim. So on the first night we're lighting one candle, on the second night we're lighting two candles. So Rashi says the following. What does Beis Hillel mean Keneged Yomim Hayotzim? So we're on the bottom of Chaf Hei, just to make sure we're all together, going on to the top of Chaf Vav. Sheyotzu Kvar. Okay. Sheyotzu Kvar. Vizeshu Omeid Bo Nimne Im Hayotzim. I think what Rashi is saying, just literal translation, nothing sophisticated here, because we're not sure what bothers Rashi, but Rashi certainly is bothered by something, is that the day itself is also included in the number. So for example, if I'm up to day 2, the second night of Hanukkah, then my number of candles is going to reflect day 2 as well. And that's called in Rashi's language, Vizeshu Omid Ba Nimna Nimna Im Hayotzen. So let's say I'm up to day 3, then when I start calculating in Beis Hillel's reference how many candles I should be lighting for the Mahadrid, the answer is I got to include day 3 as well. So the Beis HaLevi tries to explain what bothered Rashi. And he's not sure about it. He says, Varebe Pshitus is on the second line of Chavav, Nicha. I don't need Rashi here to be Mechadish Chidushim here, that the day itself is counted together with the Yom HaYotzim. The Yesh Lomar, the Zeh Atam Koi, Rakal Anosofim, Dehem Boyim Mishum Hidur. He says the following, that there's one Nair that's constant, that's a given, and that's the Ikar Nair. Correct? We only want to justify adding additional Nairos. That's called a Nosafim. And the purpose of these Nosafim is Hidur Mitzvah. So if that be the case, says the Beis HaLevi, I'm always going to add to the first candle. So for example, on the second candle, I'll add one candle to the second candle. On the third, I'm going to add two candles to the first candle. So in terms of the Tosefis Nes, Enochinami, we really have only one candle on the second night that indicates Tosefes Nes. We've already commemorated the miracle of the first night yesterday, last night. But on the second night, I'm going to add that Tosefes Nes to the first candle. Why? That's not Mahadran. The first candle is Ner Ishu Beso. That's the Iker Mitzvah. So when we get to Tosefes Nes, the Tosefes Nes is always going to be added to that one constant candle which I need for Ner Ishu Beso. And therefore, says the Beis HaLevi, Rashi's hitlabtut, you know, Rashi's confusion here is not a confusion at all. Even though Rashi's right in a certain sense that if the thrust and the purpose of Mahadrim and Mahadrim, right? If I ever say Mahadrim in the next half hour, I mean Mahadrim and Mahadrim, I'm just using a short form, is to indicate the Tosefes HaNes, then why does Rashi have to bother with the fact that, you know, yesterday's candle was already commemorated or anything like that? The Tosefes HaNes is always going to indicate how much of a Tosefes HaNes there was in addition to the basic Ner, which is Ner Ishu Beso. Is therefore Ein Tzorach Tam, Rak Al Nosafim. All that Basil has to add here in justifying the Mahadran is the extra Neros. And that's where Beis Hillel gives his explanation of Kineged Yomim Ayotzim, Mashemosifim Neros, Levad Ikar Achiv, in addition to the main Chiyuv, which is absolute and has nothing to do with Heder Mitzvah. And all these candles which have to do with Heder Mitzvah should reflect Kineged Yomim Ayotzim, Sheyotzu Kfar, which means the second on the second night, the third on the third night, and so forth and so on. So every candle is indicating how much of a Tosefes Nes there was, but it's always going to be in addition to the original candle, the basic candle of Ner Ishu Beso, Mishmachi Balel Sheni, Mosif Ner Echad, Keneged Yom Rishon Sheyotza, V'chein Bekula. Just one second. Mishmachi Balel Sheni. Have to go over this again because the mathematics here is very important. The Leil Sheni is Mosif Ner Echad. So in other words, if I understand correctly, and again, I hope I'm not misleading myself and you, the Keneged Yomim Hayotzim means as the days passed, I'm going to add candles, and that's all going to be the Yomim Ayotzim in addition to the first Ner. Yeah? So the first Ner of every single night is going to be the constant requirement of Ner Ishu Beso. And Yom Ayotzim means that what I'm saying is the second night has already, I'm indicating the, even though, again, the second night hasn't passed yet, but I'm anticipating the second night, so I'm lighting a second candle on the second night. Yeah?
Can I get the first day that passed?
In other words, the first day has already passed. Now, there's a Tosefes Nes, and that Tosefes Nes is that now a second day passed. So the second candle is going to indicate that a second day has passed, meaning that the Nair is going to last for a second day. Even though, again, it hasn't yet lasted, but it will last for the second day. Man?
I just think what's counterintuitive, one would think, if it's day four, I'm adding from day three, but as if we're starting the clock over, starting counting at one each night. It's just a unique way to look at the counting, no? You're starting from...
I'm not following you. What's the conclusion that you want to come to that we should only light?
No, I'm supporting what you're saying. It's just a different way of looking at it. I would always say, okay, it's day four, I'm adding to day three, but I go back to day one each time. The chiddush each day is that I'm starting from day one each time instead of starting from the previous day in the counting.
So am I counting the 3 days that passed already? Not the way I said it, that we're anticipating the next day. But there's going to be one candle that's constant, and then I'm going to count the 3 days that already passed. They require three candles. I have the first, the one single candle that's constant. That's
for the new night. is what he's saying.
You're saying that the 1 plus 3, the 1 is for the new night?
And that makes sense.
I said is wrong.
I think what I'm saying is supporting what you're saying, but I'm just looking, because before I came to Shura this morning, I'm thinking, okay, today's night 4, whatever, tonight's the last night.
Right.
So
yesterday was 7. You can't say tonight is 8.
We had chicken last night. So I'm thinking, just a simple way of looking at it, I'm adding from what we did yesterday. But no, we're going back to 1 each time, which makes the nace even greater. I mean, I think I'm supporting what you're saying, or the way your explanation, just in different ways. It's like I'm starting from near.
So you're saying that I'm going to add the 8th candle, meaning there's another day of nace. Is that what you're saying?
Adding another day, but not adding from the previous night, but going as if for that first candle each time. I'm counting from the first candle each time.
Are you saying, Ben Nafali, that I have 7 candles?
Yes.
Correct. And on the 8th night, since the Nes extended another night, I'm going to add 1 more candle for that extra Nes. Is that the way you're saying it?
That's my initial understanding. But now that what I'm seeing the Chedesh here and the way you're explaining, I think...
Right, the Beis HaLevi, let's say.
I'm starting from day 1 each night. I'm starting from day 1. Wow. Day 1 plus what has happened, 2 days. Day 1 plus 3 days. Day plus... Maybe I'm not explaining myself.
I'm not copying it. But it's probably because of my mathematical limitations. But in any event, what I think the Beis HaLevi is saying... And Ben, you may be right and I'm wrong here, but I think what he's saying is that that we're going to go back to day 1 in the sense that we want to show how many days of miracle there was. So let's say, for example, going into the 4th night, I'm going to tell you that there were 3 days of miracle. We're always going to add an extra candle because of the basic mitzvah. That's what I thought he was saying. So when we get to the 4th night, it's really 3 plus 1.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not disagreeing. I thought I was adding to what you're saying.
Okay. So let's see in the next paragraph in Nira. This is the one that I really need your help for. I didn't know I would get confused even before the Nira. But, okay. He says the following. Ikar ahidur shemadlikim yoser miner echad hu mishum shebetosefes hayomim nitvasef hanes shehidlik od yomim. Okay. So he's saying the following, that what is Mahadran, again, when I say Mahadran, you know what I mean, what is it conveying to me? That I'm adding an extra candle because of the Tosefes days, the extra days of miracle. So in each day, I'm adding an extra day, correct? Oh, V'al karchach tzarch lahosif od ner lefarsem es Tosefes hanes. So we're going to add another candle each night, because the Tosefes HaNes. Right, so let's say if the Nes lasts a full 8 days, then on the 8th day I'm going to need 8 candles. He says, Kmo Shekosva Shulchan Aruch, Tuf Reish Ayin Vav, Se'if Hei, Shemivarach B'chol Laila Al HaNer HaNosaf. So the Shulchan Aruch says that we're not going to make the bracha on the first ner. Let's say on the first, on the first night, obviously there's only 1 ner. But on the second night, for example, we're not going to make the bracha on the first ner. We're going to make a bracha on the second ner, which has to do with whether you go from left to right or right to left. So the Shulchan Aruch is advocating that you start with the new ner, which indicates the Tosefes HaNes. The kevan shanes nisvasef l'shmona yomim sarch lahadlik neros l'fi mispar hayomim shenasebo anes. So you're going to have to light on the 8th night 8 candles, because that extra 8th candle is going to indicate that there were 8 days of the miracle. L'farsem hatosefes shal kol laila v'laila shenitvasef bo anes. Okay, Usvir Leila Beis Hillel. Again, this is all before we get to Milan Bekodesh in the second interpretation, right? Shekevan Shaseder Hoya, in other words, if we go back to the miracle, the historical sequence of the miracle was such that Hoya Bechol Laila Hoya, Shebechol Laila Nitvasev HaNes, right? There was a Tosefes Nes on each night. Li'od Laila for another night of miracle, is Sarch Lahosif Ner B'chol Laila. Right? Because again, why are we adding another candle each night? Because there was an additional miracle on the night. Oh. So now we want to get to Rashi's question. What was bothering Rashi? V'nire Shehuksha L'Rashi De'i Nema Shahayom Sha'omed Bo Lo Havi B'chlal Hayomim Hayotzim. Okay, Rashi, this is all the Havamina of Rashi, which is bothering Rashi. In the Havamina, we would argue the following, that Yom Sha'omed Bo Lo Havi B'chlal Hayomim Hayotzim. You can't count tonight, right? Let's say tonight is going to be the eighth night, right? I can't count tonight as part of the Tosefes HaNes because it hasn't happened yet. Mitam shalom nitvasef HaNes b'tchilas halayla. You know, when I first lit the oil, you know, that's not when the Nes took place. The Nes took place at this oil, which couldn't have lasted an additional day, lasted for an additional day. So that day itself should not be calculated in the Tosefes. V'arei olam lo yifarseim ha-nes, sha-nes hoya l'shmoni yomim. Now, if I'm not going to count the eighth day, then I'm left with seven candles. So I can't get it. If I want to add another candle connected to the Tosefes ha-nes, it's going to have to be an extra candle for yesterday's nes, not for tonight's nes, because tonight's nes hasn't happened yet. So we're going to end up with seven Neros on the eighth night. And this is where I think the Beis HaLevi is going to explain maybe Rashi's answer, although the Beis HaLevi seems to assume that it's Pshita, that we're always going to start with one extra candle for the basic mitzvah. I don't know. Harei li'olam lo yifarseim ha'nes sha'nes hoya b'shmoni yomim de'b'leil chesk shemadlik ha'shmona neros ner echad madlik mitzad ikar achiv. Oh, now he's quoting, I think, the Beis HaLevi's logic that the extra candle of the eighth candle on the eighth night is really connected ikar achiv. So now when we look at the candles, we're seeing seven candles connected to Tosefes Nes. We can't add an eighth candle connected to Tosefes HaNes because that Nes took place B'Sof HaLaila. And the eighth candle, therefore, is connected to the Ikar Achiv. Now, if the eighth candle is connected to the Ikar Achiv, you end up with only seven, you're left up with only seven candles connected to Tosefes HaNes. And he's just finished presenting the thesis that we need eight candles because there was a miracle of 8 days. You hear the paradox? Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just saying this Lefianiyas Daiti. I have no clue if this is what he has in mind, honestly. But this is what my brain can come up with. That if Rashi is going to solve the problem here of how can you light a candle with reflecting Mahajan as a Tosefes Nes when the Nes hasn't happened yet, he's not going to go with what I said at the beginning of anticipatory, right? Then you're going to only justify the number 8, or again, in every night it's the same basic idea, by adding one candle, connected Ikar Achiv. But then you've undermined the whole idea of getting a number which represents the number of days of miracle. You see where you're in a bind. It's like a mimonafshach. No matter where you turn, you're going to hit a brick wall. Why? Because if you're going to tell me, well, I can only add a candle connected the Tosefes Nes, then I can only do that for connected Yom HaYotzim. I can't do it for the day that's coming in, because that Nes hasn't happened yet. Elo, what? You can add another candle to jack up the numbers and equal it out, because of its Yikrachim. But then you've completely lost the mitzvah of connected Aneros. And to dramatize it, let's fast forward to the eighth night of Chanukah, where you've got seven candles connected to Tosefes HaNes, one candle connected Ikar Achiyuv, that you've never actually made that statement that the Nes lasted for 8 days. But Gamalel Hasheni lo havi le lahadlik shnei neros ki yivchad ner, right? Because you don't have a Tosefes ness on the second night because you only have the ness of the first night. The ness of the second night hasn't taken place yet. So you should be lighting, you should be lighting one candle on the second night. And if you're going to add another candle, what's the purpose of the other candle? How does it help you at all? You've only had one miracle going into the second night. It's too early to commemorate a second night of miracle. So you should be lighting one candle on the second night. Which means that on the third night, you should be lighting two candles. Kenega the Ness of the first night, Kenega the Ness of the second night, but not Kenega the Ness of the third night. But it's very dramatic in the cases of the 8 and 1. You know, those are the two polar extremes. Ubelel Shlishi, Lahadlagak Shne Neros, Kevin Shayom Sha'omeg Bolo Havi Bechlala Yomim Ayotzin. Oh, that's the key line here to explain Rashi's problem. That if you're assuming that today's night, right, that didn't make any sense, but today's extra candle does not reflect the Ness, the Tosefta's Ness, it's premature, so then today's candle cannot be considered Kenegad Yom HaYotzim. So Kenegad Yom HaYotzim will have to be some sort of mishmash, you know, some sort of a hybrid or combination of one candle plus the Tosefta's Ness. For that one candle has nothing to do with Tosefta's Ness, but rather because of the constant Nair of Chiyuv. Is Kevon Shayom Shomim Bo Lo Havi V'Chlal Ayom Mayotzim Ein Tam Lo Sif Bolel Sheni Nair Echer Kenegin Yom Rishon Sheyotza Tov Yom Rishon Lo Hayashum Tosefes Hanes. In other words, if the second candle of the second night would be a commemoration of the miracle that's already happened, which means the miracle of the first night, then all you should have is one candle on the second night. You know, if you're only commemorating the Tosefes Ness, then on the second night where there was no Tosefes Ness as of yet, then you can only have one candle, which is connected to the Tosefes Ness of the first night, that the first night didn't only last for one night, but it lasted even beyond that one night. But then you're only left with one candle on the second night. Meaning that going into the third night, you want to commemorate the miracle of night number one plus night number two. That's two neros. Oh. So how does Rashi solve this problem?
It almost sounds like the Beis Yosef's question.
It definitely touches on the Beis Yosef's question. I'm assuming now, you know, there were so many different answers to the Beis Yosef's question. Let's assume that for argument's sake,
meaning the first night. It's almost a question, according to Rashi, of why do you light it all on the first night?
So let's assume, maybe, again, I hope I won't mislead myself and you again. Let's assume that, you know, the amount of oil, the volume of oil that should have been consumed on the first night was not consumed. So that, you know, that the great miracle was that a fraction of the oil was consumed. And we're left with enough nair to last for the second night as well. And the second night, again, instead of the oil being consumed, it wasn't consumed. So let's just see how Rashi answers this question. Oh, ulekakos of Rashi, shebal korchenu, in order to make any sense out of this mahadrin, tzrichin lomar, the sfirulei lebeis hillel, hayom sha'omeid bo, choshev bichlal yomim ayotzim. That we're going to have to assume what I call anticipatory ness, meaning anticipatory hidur, and we're going to be mahadir based on the fact that the candle that I'm lighting tonight is going to last through the night, if you follow me, the duplication of the miracle. Even though that, paradoxically, that doesn't happen. You know, we begin to, again, if his first question, if you remember, was why did Beit Shammai reject Beis Hillel? Why are they insisting on Keneged Yomim Hanichnosim? It could be for this very reason. That's going to be the subject of his next paragraph. The Beis Shammai is going to solve this problem. Beis Hillel really doesn't have any solution to this problem. They have a knacker solution. But the solution really doesn't address the problem. It just sort of sidepasses the problem without facing it on head on. And what you're going to say is, no, we're going to include tonight in the calculation of Kenegan Yomim Hayotzim, even though it's not a Yom Hayotze, it hasn't been Yotze yet. And the Yom Sha'omed Bo is calculated as part of the Yomim Hayotzim. Now, if you calculate tonight, let's say we're going into the third night, then we have a third candle for the third night. But again, you're still begging the whole question. Yeah.
I mean, there is a whole discussion why isn't Hanukkah seven nights?
Yeah, that's what Amy was.
I heard a very obscure shot. You're not supposed to rely on an ace, but let's say you only had one Pak Shemin. So you take that and you divide it into eight different, and none of them would be enough to last all night. So even on the first night, one
right.
eighth was enough for
I don't know if I have the kirkus to go through. We had about 17, you know, possibilities as to how it worked. I don't know.
Because
it's worth Chazara, but I don't know if I can do that now. So you're right, Ben. I mean, if he only added enough Shemin on that night, yeah, but still, you know, you have to wait till the end of the Lila, that 12-hour period, to see that 1/8 of the volume actually lasts.
But we're commemorating something that already happened. We know it lasted.
Correct, but we're trying to duplicate the Ness. You see, that's the kunz here. We're not just commemorating the miracle, we're duplicating the miracle. You know, we want to look at the Neros and say, wow, 3 nights it lasted. What do you mean 3 nights it lasted? It didn't last 3 nights. You haven't even gotten to the end of the 3 nights.
But unless you're not supposed to rely on an ace. But I'm going to rely on an ace. I'm going to put an eighth each night. And each night I'm lying, relying on the ace, and wow, look what happened.
Right. Ulefi hamavur nira devenis beit shamai gam ken modu lebeisil beikar ahidur shemadlikim yosem in erecha mishum shenitvasei fanes shmoni yomim. Beit Shammai is also very intelligent. They also are smart enough to figure out that we want to add candles, and the number of candles should indicate the tosefes hanes. That's the nature of the hidur. Again, this is all before we get to the second lishna of the Gemara about Milan Bekodesh and all that. The Kayosh and Itvasev Nes Lishmoni Yomim Tarklad Lik Neros Lufi Mispa Yomim Shinasabo and Nes Lefarse Matosefish or Kolila Malila El Shbazem Mias Pli Al Basil. Where did the Beit Shammai get up, stand up and protest against Beis Hillel? What do they object to Beis Hillel? Svir Lahu Le Beit Shammai Di Efsha Loma Shayom Shaomibo Choshiv Bichlala Yotzim. They don't accept the solution of Beis Hillel the way Rashi formulated. It's a very technical solution which really skirts the problem. Because how can you count tonight when there was no miracle yet tonight? You can only count yesterday's miracle, but then you're going to be shy of one candle. Oh, so how do they solve this problem? This is Ben, what you were saying before. We already know what miracle took place back in the time of the Beis Hamikdash. So how long is that one volume's worth of Ner going to last? Right, back in the Beis Hamikdash. It's going to last a full 8 days. Again, I only know that in hindsight, in retrospect, but I know it today. So when I light 8 candles on the first night, I'm already commemorating a miracle that already transpired that lasted for 8 full days. So the number 8 now is absolutely appropriate. It's not like some sort of concoction here. We're adding 7 plus 1, and we're saying that Keneged Yomim Ha, you know, Yom Shomibo is also included in the calculation. No, forget about all that. Ask yourself the question: how many days did this Nair last miraculously? The answer is 8 days. Oh, if the miracle took place for 8 days, I'm going to light 8 candles on the first night. Oh, so Adkan Hakofa Alf, meaning now we understand the first approach of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai, and everything depends upon whether the whole enterprise of Beis Hillel Beit Shammai is depends upon whether you accept this one major barrier, you know, to overcome this major barrier of counting the day itself in the cheshbon, in the calculation of Neros. And Beit Shammai were unwilling to do that. Oh, v'nira dekmo chen lahach time of the Beit Shammai keneged pari achag the time they still mile the kodesh. You saw that he would be shum tosefes hayomim nitvase fanes. So the second lishna is not undermining the premise that we achieve through the Mahadran Tosefes Hanes. Valkane Tzarch LaHosif Od Ner LeFarseim Es Hanes. With each passing night, we have to add another candle to show that the Nes lasted even another day. V'Rak Tahach Loshen Sover. What's the? Why is the second Lishna rejecting the first Lishna? The Apes Hilmode. There's no logical reason why today should be considered as one of the days of the miracle, because the miracle hasn't yet happened. In other words, they still really admit that they can't solve this problem of Keneged Yom Mayotzim. But what they say is the following: that if I want to add candles Keneged Tosefes Hanes, I can't have on the second night another one single, again, duplicate one single candle, because we have a principle called Milan Mekodesh. If the whole purpose is to indicate a Tosefes Hanes, then the curve has to go in an upward direction, meaning I have to add candles. If I don't add any candles, then I'm violating the principle of Milan Mekodesh Velo Morid. Ulebeit Shammai, Poches Veholich Keneged Pari Achad. We're going to go down in number, we're going to completely ignore the principle of Milan Mekodesh because of Pari Achad. Okay, so that's as far as I was able to get here. What I'd like to do now is make a little note that hopefully we'll be able to go on, but I'd like to fast forward to Hallel. So let me just tell you what page we should be on, and hopefully it's in the new pages that you got. We should be looking at page, I think Pay-tes. It's Pay... Which one?
Pay-tes,
okay. So we did Siman Lamed Zayin? I think we did. I just want to make sure. Let me just go back to Pei Hei just to make sure. I'm pretty sure we had a long
time.
Okay, so Pei. So let's just see. Yeah. See, I don't find the original. Okay, that's okay. Yeah, no, I have paid tests. My only question is, I just wanted to make sure in my own mind if paid tests is the... See, if you look at Pei Hei, which is Simon Lamed Zion, we had Hallel B'Shmona Simei Chanukah, we had the Magid Mishnah, and in the Pei Vav, we had the Brisker Rav. The Brisker Rav was machalik between two categories of Hallel, is Hallel Shel Kriya and Hallel Shel Shira. And therefore he answers the kasha of the Raivan on the Rambam. The Raivan, if you remember, objected to the Rambam, because the Rambam had classified all the days of Hallel as Nidirei Sofrim. And the Ravid counter argues, but we derive Hallel from a pasuk in Tanakh, and that's called Hallel Zekish Kilel Iskadish Chad. And the Gemara Pesachim explicitly uses that pasuk to derive Hallel on Leil HaPesach. Hence, the status of Hallel is equal to that of what's called Midirei Kabbalah, and it's not, as the Rambam has it, Midirei Sofrim, says the Brisker Rav, that the Gemara Pesachim is specifically addressing Leil Pesach, but it has nothing to do with the Yud Ches Yomim. You remember the holy number here in the Gemara Erechin of how many days we complete the Hallel is 18 days, 8 of which are Chanukah, and those come under a mitzvah called Kriyas HaHallel, as opposed to Leil HaPesach, where Chayav Adam Liris HaSatzmo, you know, as if we're personally exiting from, you know, part of the exodus from Egypt, there the level of Hallel is upgraded to Midirei Sofrim, because that's called Hallel Shel Shira. The question we didn't address when we discussed this last week is, why is there no Hallel Shel Shira on Chanukah? You know, it's true, the Rambam is, you know, you can't blame the Rambam, because 8 days of Hanukkah are codified in the Braisa and Erchin of the 18 days of Gemir Sahalel, which are all the Divrei Sofrim, but although the Rambam is right, but why did the Gemara include Hanukkah in that list? Hanukkah should come under Halal Shel Shira. So we suggest that Halal Shel Shira is only when you personally experience the miracle. If you're commemorating a miracle of long past, that's not Halal Shel Shira, that's Halal the Torah's Kriya. And Hanukkah is not like Leil Pesach, where we all are exiting from Mitzrayim, and therefore we don't have Shira. That's where we were on Pei Vav, on the bottom right. Do you see where it says Ulefi Zeh, which is about 10 lines up from the bottom right on Pei Vav? He says, Lefi Zeh Rei Yishlom De Hakro Da Shir Yelachem, right, and could add the words Kalel Is Kadish Chag, Kol Ikro Lo Mayri El Mihal Shal Shira Bilvad. And Enoch Inami, that Hal Shal Shira is upgraded to the status of Midirei Kabbalah. It by far exceeds Midirei Sofrim. Variksibe Kalel Is Kadish Chag Mashma Hal Shal Lela Pesach Shekol Atzma Hurak Halel Shel Shira V'lo Halel Shel Kriya. In fact, Leil Pesach is not incorporated in the Brisa of the 18 days, because that's not a mitzvah of Kriya, it's a mitzvah of Shira. V'zeh Eino Chinami Havi Midirei Kabbol Harama Mayri Midin Mitzvah Kriya Sahal B'yud Ches Yomim. Right, that's the Brisa and Erechin of the 18 days, Shayochid Gomer Ben Es HaHalel V'hainu Halel Shel Kriya. And on Halal Shel Kriya, number one, we talk about the Divrei Sofrim. Number two, we talk about a bracha. You remember I mentioned to you the other day that paradoxically, Halal Shel Shira, which is on a higher level than Halal Shel Kriya, does not get a bracha. V'zelo huzkar klal ba'posik t'shir yelachem. This posik shir yelachem has no connection whatsoever to Halal Shel Kriya. So what do we have in Divrei Kabbalah as far as Halal is concerned? All we have is the Halal of Leil HaPesach, which is upgraded to the status of what? Of Shira. Now, all this is okay until we get to a sugya Megillah Daf Yudalit. Because the sugya in Megillah Daf Yudalid derives the conclusion that there should be Halel on Megillah. I'm sorry, on Purim. So the Gemara says Yetzias Mitzrayim is Nes of Chutz Laretz, and therefore we don't recite Shira on a Nes of Chutz Laretz. And Yontif Rishon Shel Pesach, we say Halil. Dilma, so the Turi Evidence, maybe that's not a Halil. Dilma Lav Mishum Nes Omer Mosel Neshu Moed. Since every Yontif, which is endowed with Kiddush Sayom, generates Halil, maybe Leil Pesach should be that. Why does Gemara assume that Leil Pesach is Shira? Let it be a Halal of Yontiv. And the answer is because we don't have Halal Shel Kriya at night. Halal Shel Kriya is only during the day. And therefore, if we're reciting Halal at night, it must be Shira. So the Halal by day is because of the Moed. You know, that's the Kriya Sahalal by day is generated by the shame Moed, you know, the status of the day. Whereas there's Halal Shel Shira, which is to re-experience the Ness, not because of the day itself. If it was the day, it would only be daytime and not nighttime, because we don't have Halal at night. All we have at night is Shira. Okay. So what we're going to do now, as we just did before, is we're going to make a little note of it as to where we got up to. That's on page 5. And we're going to fast forward to page Peites, correct? All right. Now we start this by reiterating the Gemara and the Braisa of my Chanukah, which culminates with the Pach HaShemen. And the indication is that when Chazal established these days of Yontif, of Hal Vodah, they did so because of the miracle of Pach HaShemen. The Gemara doesn't mention a word about the Nitzachon, the great military victory. And Bishona Cheres Kovum Lahodos Lahalel, in other words, when the word got out about the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, and it lasted for 8 days, that's when they established these days, these 8 days, as days of Hallel V'Hodah. The Im HaKvius Yontif HaYemishum SheNigalu Min HaTzoros is B'Chof Hei Kislev HaRishon SheNigalu Min HaTzoros HaYitzrichim L'Kvoa Hallel V'Hodah. In other words, if it would be, which we're not going to accept this, but if we were to accept the approach that the Kvius of Chanukah was a result of the Nitzachon, the victory in the battlefield, then we have a principle that immediately when we are saved and the salvation and the redemption is a reality, at that point we should compare the days as days of Yontif. Why was it that the days of the Yontif of Chanukah were postponed, as the enactment or the establishment of the days was postponed for a year? And the answer is because Chanukah is based on the Shemen and not on the Nitzachon. If it would have been based on the Nitzachon, it would have been already on the first year. They would have celebrated Chanukah. Why did they wait a full year? Because we're commemorating the Ness of the Shemen. The Ness of Shemen happened in private, right? It was a Pach HaShemen that was discovered and it was used in the Beis HaMikdash. It took a whole year until there was a kind of a publicity about the nature of the miracle. And at that time, Chazal were Koveya Hallel for Chanukah. Now the question is, based on the Gemara that we saw earlier, that the Ravid quotes in Psachim, that on Leil HaPesach we're required to recite Hallel because of the tzara that we were saved from, meaning the Egyptians are running after us, they're in hot pursuit, and they go down the Red Sea, right? That tremendous miracle requires Hallel. And if that be the case, then Chanukah, insofar as there was a military victory, right, our lives were on the line, and we were spared, we were saved miraculously, that itself should be al-kol tzorish k'shenigalu mimenu omrim shira. So the Gemara of Pesachim on Kuf Yud Zayin establishes that the Nevi'im enacted a chiyuv halel any time that our tzara is destroyed, right? Imagine Mitzrayim, right? Mitzrayim is in hot pursuit. We'll call him the tzara. That's the tzar. That's the enemy. And now they go down the Timayon. They're completely destroyed. That's called the geula from the tzara. And the Nevi'im established that with the geula of the tzara, we have to recite Hallel. Again, we'll call it Hallel Shel Shira, but nevertheless Hallel. So why did they have to wait a full year to establish these days as days of Hallel? They should have been established as days of Hallel immediately. Al kol tzara shelotovik shenigalim imen at the time of the geula from the tzara.
To make the question even stronger, when Rambam says shana acheret, he means after the korban.
Oh, right. If we go with that approach, right. So he says the following. One second. V'tzarech im. Okay, so we're 1, 2, 3, 4 lines up before the end of page Peites. V'tzarech im de v'psachim kuf yud zayin isa neviim shebineim tiknu lem Yisrael sheyu omrim oso. They should recite Hallel al kol perek uperek v'al kol tzara tzara shelo tov olim sheneg olim imena. Upirish Rashi barash bam al gul losom kigon Chanukah. So Chanukah becomes a classic case of the Jewish people being saved from a tzara. Right? They're fighting a battle against the mighty Greeks, as we call them, right? Hare kosu rashik shnol mitzot kyon chanaka. Vilv gemara mirin to zel zechel nes pach ha-shemen. The Gemara says they establish it as days of Hallel because of the Pach HaShemen, that miracle. What about the fact of Nigaolim min Hatzaros, where the Nevi'im established that we have a day of Hallel because we were spared of a Tzara? And Rashi says, Kigon Chanukah. That's question number one. The Od Kasha, and question number two, he says, the Me'a Gemara B'Shavis, in other words, once they establish this holiday of Chanukah, Memela, there's a Chiyuv of Hal because of the day. And where the Gemara Pesachim says that Hal should be established on Chanukah, the way Rashi interprets it, because of the general halacha, forget about calling it Chanukah, whenever the Jewish people are spared and saved from a tzara, then they have to recite Hal. So why is Hal in the Brice of my Chanukah incorporated or encoded in the establishment of the day as Chanukah? Forget about establishing the day as Chanukah. There should be an independent chiyuv of Hallel because of the tzara that they were spared from, that tzara. Oh. So now he quotes again the Rambam in Ilchas Chanukah with the Ravid's complaint about the Midivrei, why is the Midivrei Sofer, it should be Midivrei Kabbalah. And the Ravid quotes the Gemara in Pesachim. And in the paragraph of Hinei Aran, the Ran in the name of Haigon says that there's a concept called Shira. And Rav Haigon wants to justify why on Leil Pesach do we omit the bracha shekinshar mitzosis if on a ligmar sahalil. And he says, because ein karnos sabitoris korin el bitoris shira, if we're only reciting halal as shira, not as kriya, then we don't recite a bracha shekinshar nina gamlil om besofa lefichachanu chayovim lahodos lahalil. There are two categories of Hallel. There's a Hallel which we recite as Shira, not as Kriya. And then there's a Hallel, and that Hallel doesn't get a Bracha. And then there's a Din of Hallel B'Torah's Kriya, and that's a Mitzvah Direi Sofrim on Yud Ches Yomim, and that's Midin Kriya, and that gets a Bracha. So the basic thrust of what we're saying now is that the reason why Chanukah was established on as a day of Hallel because of the miracle of the Pach HaShemen, and not as a day of Hallel because of the military victory, is because the military victory would have only generated a Chiyuv Shira. Now you might say, what do you mean only? I mean, Chiyuv Shira Adarav is upgraded. It's on the level of Midivrei Sofrim. But nevertheless, it would not require a bracha. And it would have nothing to do with the Takon of Chanukah, as a day of Chanukah. It just has to do with the Geula from a Tzara. And therefore, what we're saying is no. That the Chachamim never established Chanukah as a day of Chanukah, as a day of Moed, if you want to call it that, Le'inyan Hallel, based on the Chiyuv Shira of Hatzola from the military campaign, but rather they established Hallel as a day which generates a mitzvah of Hallel, that's called Chanukah, and the status of Chanukah as a day of Chanukah generates a chiyuv of Kriyas HaHallel, that requires a bracha. If you ask me, what about the military victory? The military victory comes under the mitzvah not of Kriyas HaHallel, but of the mitzvah of Shira. And that doesn't get a bracha. Say nafinami. Chanukah would require Hallel under two different categories. Number one, under the category of Shira, because it's a Tzara Shenig Olam Imenu, and that was the Takonis HaNeviim. And number two, Chanukah requires Hallel under the mitzvah of Kriyas HaHallel, so far it was established as a day of Yontif, and therefore it's encoded in the Yud Ches Yomim, Shebo Gomer Mes HaHallel. So we have two Machayvim of Hallel on Chanukah based on Rashi Veset the Pesachim. And one is because of the Milchama, and the other is because of the Nespach Hashem, and the difference is fundamental. As far as the Milchama is concerned, we're talking not about Kriyas HaHalo, but about Shira. And as far as upgrading Halo to the status of a Maisa Kriya and a Chiyuv Kriya, for that we need the Pach HaShemen. And that was established not immediately, but only after a year, when they had a Gilui, when it became public knowledge about the amazing supernatural miracle of the oil in the menorah. All right, so let's put since we have to daven mincha now, let's put a little note here as to how far we got. So if you could please remind me, because I'm liable to forget, that we got up to what? We got up to Daf Tzadi, correct? Where else? Chaf Hei, was it? Yes? Chaf Hei, was it? I just want to make sure we have...
Yes, Shkoya, thank you.
Shkoya, yeah, thank you.
Chavav.
So Chavav and Tzad. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Okay, Chavav. And Tzad. Okay. Why do I think that there was something else that we needed here before Tzad? Just one second here. Oh yeah, and Peivav. No, let's not forget Peivav. Okay. So, we'll write down Peivav. That's what we'll have. So we didn't get a chance to do the Agadah with Moshe Tzur. Maybe Belinda will get a chance tomorrow.